Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back. We are here on AfterBuzz TV talking about Riverdale. So many crazy things. Who will Archie side with? And is in Cheryl in Switzerland? What the heck is going on? I'm freaking amped. I can't wait to talk about Riverdale with you guys. We're here. Break the whole episode down. We'll see you in just one second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, this is a good one.
Oh,
Spirit Fingers.
I feel like I'm going to do like the Batusi, yeah, right?
Yeah. Okay. I feel like we had the group.
Yeah, we coordinated this.
Yes. The ladies on the panel had a moment. Not Frank and myself,
now. It felt good to us.
Yeah, we're good. That's weird. What's up, everybody? Welcome back. We're here. It's AfterBuzz TV. It's Riverdale. I'm back. I missed a week. I'm so sorry I missed you guys last week, but I'm excited to be back. This week, we are talking about Riverdale, and guys, we're getting close to 30 total episodes of the show. I mean, we're pretty far in. We're pretty far down the line.
I counted, so we have 6 more left.
How many times total do you expect to watch the final 6?
You know, I think it'll be like a total view will be 30.
Holy moly!
Not of each episode. I'm just saying.
You should write a book about Riverdale back half season 2.
Working on it.
Yeah.
Can you even remember a time in your lives where there were no Riverdale episodes in them?
No. I choose not to.
And can you fans remember a time where there was no Riverdale after show at AfterBuzz TV?
It would be a tragedy to think that way. So let's just get right into this review here, guys. We have so much to break down. This was a great episode. Things are starting to get pretty nefarious and kind of crazy in Riverdale. We're going to have a mayoral race coming up pretty soon. Political parties, all kinds of craziness. I can't wait to talk about that. There was unfortunately no Archie doing pull-ups in this episode, but, you know, if you wanted to watch last week's episode again.
So sorry for you, Ben.
Anybody interested in that?
It hurt me to know.
Wait, should we introduce ourselves?
That's
if you guys don't know us.
It's a good plan. We have the full panel here tonight. I'm going to start on the far side of the table, Mr. Frank Moran.
Amped.
I got my girl Shauna. What's going on? How you doing?
Hey, y'all.
Got Sam D.
Hello, guys. Sam D here. I am going to be looking in the live chat through my phone, and I don't know if Steven can perhaps pull it up on the thing for other people to look, but we're looking out for you, and I'm not texting. I love you guys.
We've got Steven Lemieux, producer of the Popcorn Talk Network, as well as producer at AfterBuzz TV, up in the booth. Steven, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. I can't put the chat on the screen for you guys. I'm sorry.
Right.
We're not able to do that anymore.
It's all good, man.
Really? Okay.
But cool, Sam, you're more than enough.
All right.
In fact, you are amazing.
That's great.
Wow. Yeah. That is the nicest compliment I've ever gotten from Steven, guys. This is amazing.
That's not true.
I know. You're right, Steven. You're right.
But never fret, commenters. As you know, Shauna is always up in those comment streets at the YouTube underneath our video. So leave whatever you want. You know I'm going to respond to every single thing.
Yeah, like, comment, subscribe, all the good stuff. Leave a review on iTunes if you want. It helps us stay high in the standings. And that's what it takes for us to continue providing free content here on AfterBuzz TV, which we'll never stop doing. So let's talk about the episode, guys.
Yes.
Cheryl and Tony, this budding romance, it seems to be squashed. What is going on here? So Cheryl, I from what I could gather at the end of the episode, Cheryl ends up with the Sisters of Mercy. Am I correct? Are we all on the same page there?
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
You
I'm
think
afraid.
She's got to be someplace local.
She's not really in Switzerland. There's no way.
Yeah.
So it's the only evil nunnery around?
Of course. You go what's close by, for sure.
So who's betting that that's the same nunnery that Chick was just at?
Right, well, I mean, you have to think that it's where Holly was
as well.
Yeah, 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 exactly. You gotta think it's the same place.
Yeah.
So, no sooner had we found out that Cheryl was, in fact, spectacular, they're no longer, the romance gets to happen. What's our reaction, guys? What do you think? How did this episode make you feel, Sam?
I loved this episode so much.
You started shivering as you said.
Yeah, I felt it too. I was like...
physical reaction.
Yeah. I really was obsessed with it. I thought it was a movie, and I loved the sleepover and the horror. It was all of my favorite teen dramas and horror movies kind of combined. I was super into it.
Totally agree. I was there for the sleepover. I was there for the inner circle vixens.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, it's so funny that love and hate relationship.
I
want to
be one.
they have with Cheryl, it's like, wait a minute, you almost like kicked us out of this thing, but we kissed each other, and so you decided to let us in. Now we're in the inner circle. I mean, I don't know. She's not that nice to us, but okay. I really like that. I loved the fact that it kept going and going. I thought it was going to be over, and it's just like a new crazy thing happened. Thank you, Riverdale. I love you to my core.
It's exciting stuff. Yeah, yes. Meryl Reyes definitely is. It's a lot to look forward to. Frank, how'd you feel, man?
Well, first, I'd say I thoroughly have enjoyed the slow, some may say, the seductive undressing of Ben Bateman.
I took my tie off. I don't think it's
right. Not just a tie off. There was an unbuttoning of the shirt, exposing those pecs, following the Archie Andrews push-up / pull-up regimen.
Okay.
Are you going to put out a guitar from like behind you and just take off your shirt and start playing?
That's the old days.
Yeah.
That's the old days.
I remember that.
But it was also nice to see Ethel. That was a good callback. I feel like it was nice to see the Lodge has been pushing a lot of buttons, and so you know, at some point, things are going to start coming back to push on them, too.
Okay, someone in the chat said, something very smart. Let's see. Did I lose it? Basically, it was that Riverdale is the new Sopranos.
Right. I mean, there's a lot more of a crime element to the show in terms of like the, you know, the first family of Riverdale than I think we kind of saw coming the first season. There was a minute there at the end of the first season where it seemed like they were teasing it a little bit. Like, oh, there's going to be this kind of subplot of it. But now the show really does seem to be just like, there's a crime family in Riverdale. And everybody's just reacting to the fact that like, there is a straight up criminal family running things.
But I'm also getting tired, and I hope this, maybe just because it's new after this episode, or since last episode, when Archie makes his blood oath with Hiram.
Yeah, right.
Now he has to be reminded. You know, you made a note to us. Like, I don't know, and every episode with Hiram having to tell Archie, well, you know, remember, you swore to put us first.
Archie started out the show very dumb. He continues to be very dumb. I don't think he's really gotten smarter. I think...
No.
Okay.
No. I believe he just seems to be so clueless as to, like, what the right decision to make is. Most of the time when I'm watching Archie make decisions, I'm just like, I can't relate to you, bro. How can you decide that that's a good move? You're like helping a criminal lord kill people. There's like dead bodies.
Fear will
do that
to you.
It's against your family in some ways.
Love, guys. Love. Love and fear, though.
Because he keeps saying, my father was shot right here. It's like it keeps haunting him, and he feels like he has to do something to redeem his father. But I hate to say this, but between Fred and Hiram, I mean, Fred is not really pulling all the strings. I don't feel like Archie feels like he can truly make moves to secure this place. And having a prison, I feel Archie will probably... He feels like these same criminals who are haunting us now are going to be in the same prison. And I'm going to be standing right next to Hiram, and it's going to be all for the good.
Well, so I think that, you know, the whole first season they were building up, there's this big secret in Riverdale, all of this stuff. I personally thought it was supernatural, and I don't think that's necessarily going away, but it's this other subplot that is a bit disappointing to me in some ways.
You mean the fact that it is just like there's a criminal family and the kids are all reacting?
Yeah.
It's very much just the OC. It's Caleb Nichol.
Yeah, I'm like, I want something new, original. I want the Vampire Diaries. Just kidding.
She wants magic.
But I do. I want magic.
Me too.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the show has teased something bigger. We did get a callback to it. It's like harken back to some earlier great stuff with Josie. We hadn't seen her sing in a little while. How long have it been since Josie sang on the show?
I always love the episodes when she sings.
It's been like, it seems like forever.
Seems
because,
like it,
you know,
right?
Remember Veronica, you know, pulled her little Jack move, so we haven't seen Josie as the head of the
Cadets
in a while.
For sure, but then she double-crossed V.
Which I like that.
That's a stone-cold move.
That totally surprised me, unlike the chick situation, but we'll get to that later.
Right.
But that surprised the heck out of me. I totally believed her. When she started talking about Watch What Happens Live, I was like, oh, she's in there. She knows Andy. She believes that this is a celebrity that would sway her, and she played her.
I'm going to be totally honest with you guys. Andy Cohen, recognize the face, recognize the voice. Who's Andy Cohen?
From Bravo's Watch What Happens?
Yeah, and he does like all of the after shows for all the like Real Housewives.
Okay, got it. Yeah, yeah. Not my...
Not your cup of tea.
Yeah, it's a half hour like Sunday through Thursday talk show where they have celebrities on there, and they do shot skis. Three shots lined up on a shot.
Oh, on the thing, on the board?
Yeah.
The shot ski.
That's right.
That's fun. I've done that before.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, you took it from Andy Cohen.
Ben recognizes the drink, the drinking game, but not the host.
The shot ski's great. Andy Cohen, I'm a fan. He came up with that, huh?
Yeah, shout out to our boy Richie Sky. He was the bartender.
Right?
He was on Stripped, but he's also the bartender in one of those episodes.
Oh, excellent.
And shout out to Kelly Jones in the chat. All right, new rules. Take a drink anytime Sam mentions another teen drama.
I yes. started with the OC.
I love it.
I mean, I think I started it with the Vampire Diaries, and you followed it up with the OC pretty quickly. So we're about even on
that.
I'm a mixed mind about the Andy Cohen thing. Like, do I need this? It was
what a cameo, right?
Yeah, like too cheesy, too like a bridge too far in terms of cameos,
right?
Maybe he's not a very good actor.
Oh, yeah.
So it kind of was just like, oh, is this a talk? Like, what is happening
himself,
here?
Like, so no acting needed.
Like, well, was he playing himself? He was just like, hi, Veronica.
I'm Andy Cohen. I would love to be in your corner.
Yeah, exactly.
So, interesting stuff. I missed last week, but 2 weeks ago, we talked about the fact that Love, Simon was being promoted very heavily on the show because Greg Berlanti was directing. Mm-hmm. Have any of you guys had the chance to see it?
I have not, but I know I'm going to. I've heard it's amazing.
No?
I have not. I know you've raved about it. I've seen your posts.
Best movie of the year.
Yeah, really? I've heard it's fantastic.
It was
Did
my
you know
favorite.
That okay, no.
Say again. Go ahead.
Did you know that Black Panther came out this year?
I love Black Panther.
You think Love, Simon is better than Black Panther?
I thought BP was great. It's my number three movie so far this year.
Well, Black Panther came out like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and Love, Simon came out right after.
It's totally different genres, too, and I cannot wait to see it. I'm
Black
dying.
Panther was terrific. It was great. Just Love, Simon made me feel something like it was the simplest, and I don't want to go on a tangent, but like... To accomplish a movie like Love, Simon the way they did, it's mm-hmm. just a John Hughes movie, except it's just with a gay lead. And mm-hmm. so it makes you feel like, I think to myself, like, I could write that movie, and I could make that movie. That's how it makes you feel. You're like, that's a great story.
So it's like
story.
A home feeling, like you feel
it's
warm.
It's just funny and relatable and sweet and, like, everything about it is just it was a great
Aww,
movie.
Are you going to be able to hold on to this feeling?
Everybody I in the so. Chat, go see Love, Simon because of Ben Bateman.
Yeah. I'm telling you guys, I saw it. Yeah, anyway, whatever. So, but Berlanti did a great job with that, and so I thought that was interesting because he promoted that in that episode, and then we got Andy Cohen in this episode. So I do sort of wonder how that goes when they're talking, like, when you think about sort of promoting something from outside the show that's not directly on plot, what decision you make, how do you bring it into the show? And so, yeah, seeing Andy for, like, a scene, right?
Yeah, it's always weird, celebrity cameos, when they come onto any series. I remember an episode of Elementary where Phil Sims came on because he was a knife-throwing expert for Sherlock Holmes. And it was so weird. Like, why is Phil Sims here talking about throwing knives? But that was a cameo.
Here, you know how I'm into kind of this fantasy, and even last week, I didn't mention this, I forgot to, that I didn't, you know, when Jughead met with Veronica's old door... Man.
Yeah, Smithers.
Mm-hmm. Right, Smithers. I'm like, okay, what time are we in? I again am thinking, what time, what place? I'm in this fantasy world that I create of like, could this be another time, another universe in some way? And I don't necessarily believe that, but I like the fantasy of it. But this with Andy Cohen brought me back to, oh, wait, so that he exists.
It's real.
The Housewives exist. That's
oh,
not
sure.
fun
right.
for me.
We're
anymore.
Not in. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
It brings you back to like the reality breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah.
But what I do wonder, and I know it's probably off subject, but they were so specific about how they said things. Like, this is... I always watch What Happens Live or whatever. It's like, did they put that in the clause? Like,
and
you
they
need
did
to say
it.
The name of our show? To,
yeah.
Well, that's why I brought up Love, Simon. I mean, that's
the
literally
week
the reason
before,
I'm bringing it up.
Exactly.
It's like, it's literally like, there must be a conversation or a contract where it's like, we're going to throw it to this thing. You know, Berlanti directed this movie, we're going to throw it to it. You know, Andy Cohen, we're going to throw it to your thing. That's like, it's got to be, there has to be a handshake or a deal.
Well, so. True, because you know, I'm sure if we watch What Happens Live tonight, I bet he gives a shout out to Riverdale.
Yeah, probably.
It's like Hiram Lodge in real life, guys. They're making deals everywhere.
Exactly. He's just a shark.
So we continue to have a couple different, like, big dramatic blow-ups happening. One of them is with Chick, and we find out that Chick is, he's been lying, and
I was probably right. Can I just say
You
that?
Think that FP's the dad still, 100%.
But I don't think it's Chick not lying. Chick didn't know.
That FP's his dad?
Yeah, well, yeah, Chick had no reason
was
to
it,
know.
Was it confirmed? It was the conversation was still a little vague. It was almost there, right?
Well, we know that Hal's not the father, but we don't have any conclusive proof yet.
But
that
what
is
about
FP.
Chick's response? I mean, Chick's response still gives me guilty feelings. Like, why did he do that face and hug his mother like such a victim,
oh,
like such a big baby?
God. The moment where you're like playing the victim, and then you have the moment just like last frame where you look at someone and smile. It's like my favorite thing ever.
It's like if you guys hug and, you know, Ben looks over at me and he's just like hugging Frank and he's just smiling, staring
right at me.
Oh my
God, it's so evil.
It's like, what are you up to?
Mine is just tears of joy if I'm going to embrace Ben Bateman.
That's you're too
But you know what? The thing about that is it it causes you to think that that's the thing to do in real life.
Right.
You cannot do that in real life. People will really think you're creepy.
Yeah, they'll send you to a mental hospital like Cheryl.
That doesn't really happen in real life. If that like really happens in real life, then your reaction is exactly what always happens to things, where you're like, he did it! He smiled! And then people like respond, and they're like, oh, okay, there's something going on here. But it's like the guy like never gets away with it.
You know,
like,
no one ever believes you.
It's not a real Because
the guy's
thing.
Like, oh no, I never did that.
Well, but start doing it. Me. Start doing that now in real life and just see what happens.
Well, you know, it's the baton of creepiness keeps on being passed between Betty and Chick.
Right.
And it's like, who can be creepier? Let's wake each other up in the middle of the night with lighters.
She threatened his life.
I like
straight
that.
Up. She but, went Dark Betty without the wig.
Yes. And it was kind of sexy. I literally agree with Ben. The wig has to go.
Yeah.
Now that I've seen her getting her hair brushed at the sleepover looking bomb with those blonde locks. Girl, sorry, no more black wig. What did my mom call it? What
cabaret
are you doing
wig?
With this cabaret wig?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like, once she picked it up, it's the wig has been tainted. I don't think Betty can ever wear it again.
Well, it's also surrounded by the conversation of the first time you're expressing to your mother or someone else is expressing to you that you've been having sex with it on.
Oh, my
so, yeah, it's trash.
One time, guys.
Chick blew up her spot hard. Just like, Chick really...
And has he been hacking her phone and watched her and Jughead have sex?
Oh, my God. But at the end of the day, why didn't she pull out the laptop and say, you know what? Let me go ahead and go to the bondage. Or would you like the BDM? Like, what do you want me to show you about
Chick? Because Chick's a straight gigolo.
Right. But, and he's on camera.
Really. The fact that Alice gave him up, he has got... Like an eternal chip to be able to cash in with Alice anytime he wants.
Well, she must feel guilty because what must have happened is that so if FP's the father, then Chick disappeared and Alice was like pretty aware of it and has like basically felt guilty her whole life about it, and so she feels like she owes him this huge debt, and that's why she manages to continue to just like cover up for him and keep him around, right?
So was that abortion though that we spoke of? Was it at the end of last season? You know. Hal and Alice, they claimed that she had an abortion with a child, or was it just her giving it up for adoption because she slept with someone else and cheated on him in high school?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened.
That's what we're talking about, right? Okay,
yes.
Cool.
Got it.
I mean, she did deny it pretty hard, and she has been pretty forthcoming with this whole murder thing. She's been forthcoming about everything else. Why would she start lying now to Betty and saying, like, no, FP's not the father?
FP's the father.
But
she did slip up and say the Jones name. But, I mean, is that Buckhead?
No. I mean, okay, the reason I say we're not confirmed is because, obviously, like, we're intended to be driven towards this conclusion.
So when we are, can we all buy Sam, like, a round of drinks? Because I've been saying this for so long.
As long as we can drink them on the show, I'm happy with it. All right, so that's what's going on there. Let's talk a little bit more about Cheryl and Tony and kind of what's going on there, Shoney, because... it's a relationship that's been snatched from us, and Tony knows something weird is going on. Cheryl's working hard. How'd you guys think about that Tony Topaz dance number? It's a pretty good dance.
First of all, she hit that number. I am very appreciative of how
she
came out of the gate.
Yeah.
Everyone else was a little bit shaky, I will admit that. But Tony, she knew her stuff. And and Cheryl, she normally just gives you a little hard time. This time she said, I doubt you guys will be able to do better than that, so goodbye.
Yeah, right.
She's right in. She's on.
I mean,
so
she's in love.
Yeah.
I think she's infatuated, and I think that Tony is going to have an opportunity to be a very good hero here.
Well, yeah, because so now that Cheryl's gone, Tony's going to probably step in and kind of take charge, right?
Definitely.
That's what it seems like.
No, she's going to find her. She knows it's not right. She's not just going
to
give
up. But you
don't
think in the meantime she's going to go to school and she's going to become like the leader of the Vixens? Because it kind of seems like that to me.
Veronica doesn't play that.
Yeah, but I don't think like in a malicious way. I think it'd be like, hey, I think it's more of a rallying way. Let's get all the troops together and find Cheryl.
Well, I feel like Veronica really might not have time depending on the presidential election.
Right.
That's
all kinds
true.
Of elections going on.
Yeah, Missy.
So many. There's so many elections.
Yeah,
so
we have Simone Umba, Tony Strait came to slay.
Yes.
Yeah, she did.
So true.
Everybody knows that Vanessa Morgan and Maddie Petch are like best friends in real life, right?
Really?
You guys all seen this?
Yes,
well, I
see.
Know that, you know, everyone loves Vanessa Morgan's dog.
No, like they're like legit. Like there's like constantly little Twitter videos that go up. They're like best friends. They hang out all the time.
The show or before?
I think they were friends like very, very, very close before the show. I think they go way back.
That right there is good luck for any show because real friend chemistry is like no other, honey.
Yeah.
Can we make an Instagram video, Ben?
You and me?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about?
Just like how cool you are.
Wait a minute. Hold up. Do not exclude us, okay? We did this together, so we're in.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We can make a collective Instagram video.
Thank you so much, you guys. How sweet. Let's do one without them, okay? We got this.
So, all right. So that's what's going on there. I guess we did get the scene in the bedroom. We got the, like, awkward looking over, you looking at me scene.
Definitely a Cal King.
Yeah.
With Big Ben.
Big Ben. Yeah, with Shoney.
Oh, yes. That got me because I was so confused about how forthcoming Cheryl was. Like, she is not the girl that usually tells all her business, but she got everyone together and was like, look, basically, I think my mom and my new uncle are trying to kill me.
Right.
Now, no one took them no one took her seriously. Josie's like, are you not imagining this?
Well, Cheryl's got a long history of just kind of pushing people and manipulating.
Yeah.
Her brother was killed by her father. Why should they not be concerned?
Yeah.
Right. And Betty goes, oh my God, I totally understand. Well, I have this really creepy brother, which she does. Yes. But I mean, hello, you're in the house of hell. Let's help.
Chick's creepiness to me is like one of those TV things. It's kind of like when you watch a movie with like a mental patient and they're in an asylum and they know they're like not crazy, but the system just keeps keeping them in there and you're just like, how can you not get out? Like, this doesn't make any sense. Yeah. You're like, how is nobody being like, oh yeah, this person should totally be able to get out? Like, that's how I feel about it. It's like,
you mean for Betty or for Chick?
No, for Chick being able to stick around and not people just not being like, you're nuts, get out of here.
Yeah.
It's like, you're so creepy, you look creepy every time you smile, you're like doing really weird stuff, you want to kill people.
Yeah,
you murdered someone in the house since you came to the house. Like, why are you still here?
But I literally was thinking about it. I was like, okay, what did Betty say she brained him? The guy he murdered, that he brained the guy. So I think he literally, like, threw a brick or whatever it was. But he didn't have any fingerprints on it because he threw something at his head.
Betty, how does he know exactly? Did she come back and give him a case, like, step-by-step report? Because he gave her a full-on report of what she did.
He, like, knew what she did.
He knew exactly. Like, I didn't do this and then go to the tunnel.
Yeah, totally. Like, I thought that was weird, too.
He's watching her.
Or Alice told him the whole thing.
Do you think Betty came back and was like, okay, Mom, so this is what I did? No, and went through his phone and contacted the people in his phone? How do you know that?
Well, Chick doesn't know that part.
He said that. He told her that. He said, I'm not the one who contacted the people on the phone.
Yeah, right. That's actually a really interesting point you make, because unless he was watching, I can't imagine a conversation where Betty was like, okay, Chick, this is exactly what I did. So maybe she told Alice and Alice told Chick, but I don't think we're going to find out that Chick's been watching Betty, but it is possible.
Guys,
not off the table.
Chick is Gossip Girl. Okay,
oh my God,
we finally
yes.
figured it out.
And so is Kevin.
And I see people in the chat, you're referencing it like crazy like I am, and I love you guys.
In the end, who was Gossip Girl? Who was the...
Dan Humphrey, who was Jughead, actually.
Oh, really?
The Jughead of Gossip Girl, yeah.
Oh, God, okay. I never finished that show.
Yeah. But I will say, again, you mentioned Kevin. Like, this most human that we see Chick is when he's hanging out with Kevin.
He's talking, but you don't think it's a plan? It's like a plot?
Seems like
that Kevin stuff, I was like, dude, come on.
Right.
I was pissed.
Kevin's sort of the worst.
He's your best / worst friend.
You guys gave it to me last week. Did I not mention that? Is Kevin being a traitor or is he being a good friend?
Well, remember that Betty kind of sold Kevin like down the river to his dad? Remember that? Betty was like, you know, Kevin's doing this and got him in trouble. And
she was worried because he was about to get murdered by the Black Hood potentially.
I mean, he didn't get murdered and she totally sold him out.
Yep.
High school, okay?
It's high school, but a lot of non-high school things are going on, number one. And number two, Kevin needs to keep the loyalty because she hasn't done anything since then and she was trying to help him. So.
Right.
And then he doesn't know anything about Chick. So you are messing with the wrong one. And then you know what, guys? Just to talk about your point about why don't people see Chick for who he is or his evilness, I really have to think about perception because I'm looking at these icy blue eyes like, you scare me and I want you gone. But somebody else is probably like, oh, look at those baby blues. You know, like, someone might like that, like Alice and like other people in town.
People get charmed.
One of the things I do like about Chick's character, I have to say, though, is that usually when a character that's very attractive, you know, that's a guy, you know, oh, if he's gay, it's some huge... Oh, he's gay, and everyone has to... But no, it's not even something people have to come to terms with. And I guess we don't even really know if he's gay. It seems like he is, maybe bisexual. Well, we haven't seen him be into girls, but it's not been a plot point that's important enough for us to focus on, which I like. It's about his creepiness.
That's a good point, actually. That is, like... very progressive for mainstream TV. It doesn't have to be a point.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about presidential and school elections. Well, not presidential.
Well, we care about this show way too much.
Yeah. So political campaigns. We have a couple different things going on. Veronica and Betty were going to run. But now it looks like we have a couple. So now Fred is going to run against Hermione, right? That's how that episode ends.
For mayor.
So that's exciting. And I'm totally excited to see that happen. But then at the same time, Betty is now going to be a running mate to Jughead.
So well, Bughead is running.
When was the last time, like in a school election, that there were running mates? Usually I just think there's just the president. Nobody else really...
Every TV show I've ever seen.
They've got a running mate for school?
Yeah, they got to jam as many characters into the election as possible.
Great. I'm going for treasurer. Cool.
You want to be a running mate?
Yeah.
I'm secretary.
I'll be the social media girl.
I thought it was such a sweet moment, though, when she... When
me too.
Yeah, right? I'll be your running mate.
And he's like... Ooh.
Just like that?
I was like, oh, man.
He's like, I didn't have to work at all.
I want to run for school office.
Have sex again. With your wig on or without. I don't care. You're adorable. Yeah.
Wait, but did you hear the shade? There is no me and Veronica.
Yeah, that was definitely
their besties.
The hammer.
I was confused because I didn't really think that those flyers that were given out about Veronica were that much information that Betty didn't know.
Yeah.
The
first thing on there was that Veronica already knew about Southside High.
But that's I'm sorry, Betty didn't go to Southside High. Like,
but Jughead did. That's her boo. You know they're connected
for 4 days. They
by
said
the DNA.
What, 4 days. Get
that's,
over it, Jughead.
That's all he went there for.
Yes.
Yeah, but Jughead's connected.
But
to
Jughead
the Southside.
Is so passionate.
That's what he said.
And
he's
he
south.
Really paints a great picture. And honestly, psychologically, I literally looked this up before the show. You are going to root for the underdog. It says because you're looking for an unexpected triumph. So we are rooting for Jughead. We are rooting for Fred as mayor.
But I get a feeling, is it a thing where in the South Side, time runs differently? Where, you know, one day in Riverdale equals like 100 days on the South Side? Because like Jughead's like such, like his infatuation or his loyalty to the South Side at times seems so over the top. You're like, where is this coming from? You weren't in there that long.
Well, no, but it's not because just he went to school there. It's like his dad, it's the serpents. Like, he's a serpent. That's his family.
Well,
that's his
lineage.
Think
he also always never felt like he belonged at Riverdale. And then finally when he went to the South Side and went to school there for whatever it was, however long it was, he felt like he belonged so much that it... like lived up to a lifetime at Riverdale.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's his relationship to his dad, it's the serpents, it's all that. So I think that's why he has so much passion for it.
Right.
I think he's also, you know, he wants to fight the big man, and we have, you know, Hiram is totally the big man in the situation.
Hiram
sucks.
I mean, I'm kind of annoyed that we haven't gotten much follow-up with the Hermione
being
reveal.
The godmother thing.
Yeah.
I know, it is weird, right? That happened, and it's just been like...
What? Did that not happen?
But they do give little innuendos about it, just based on, like, look, did you see how they both ganged up on Veronica? They were like, oh, you're going to do what we told you to do, and we want you to be our good little girl. Is that good? And I felt threatened. Did you guys feel threatened?
No, because I was watching
people
a TV show.
People don't really talk to their kids.
Okay.
No, I mean, yeah.
I felt threatened.
I felt threatened because I'm in the show.
Shut it.
Don't do that to Veronica. I'm Veronica.
Exactly. And I'm like, you guys are mob parents. Like, calm down. And she stood her ground, and then she's like, okay, well, let me run for student president then, since you guys want me to be low-key.
Mm. Yeah, that's the best way to get back.
Right.
But
what do you think Veronica's going to do to Josie? Do you think she knows 100% that Josie sold her out or no?
I'm sure she'll find. I don't think any secret stays hidden for very long. So.
Well,
Riverdale.
So yeah. I put in my notes that it's Veronica has the same relationship that with Josie that Josie's mom has with Veronica's parents.
Sure,
it's superficial and beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
They're friends.
What can
and
you do
night,
for me?
Like, what can you do for me? And it's constantly that back and forth.
Although, if you looked at it though, what has Josie got out of Veronica that's benefited her?
That's the thing.
Because it's always Veronica going to Josie needing her for something.
Right.
It's true, yeah. Veronica's family, like, as much as they've offered to help, they haven't really helped. They haven't done much for Josie. That's a good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, she could be on Andy Cohen Live, right?
Yeah. Oh!
Right. Yeah.
That would save her.
Do you guys think that the addition of Kevin and Josie to series regular has made much of an impact this season? Like, looking back at it?
I don't even think they've been in it that much more.
I honestly feel like I was surprised thinking about it tonight. They don't really feel like they barely feel more significant in the show than they did. And it almost feels, you know, oftentimes when we see them, like, in more scenes, they almost feel like they're...
strange.
Like they're being injected to just because, like, we have to use you more kind of a thing. Yeah. Like, the storylines don't feel that interesting to me.
I agree, typically, sadly. I mean, I love the Josie performances.
Yeah, well, I mean, the music part of the show is great.
Well, and it makes me think they save it up for money or something. But then I'm thinking, no, she's a serious regular now. She's getting paid on the reg, so why can't she sing every time I want her to?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like every time we see her storyline, it has to pretty much just be an extension of one of the core four that we've seen.
We've never just talked to Josie for some reason.
Yeah, we've never just seen a storyline just originate from her and just carry on for multiple episodes.
Which is interesting, too, because, like, in the Archie comics, that's still kind of always how it's been. Like, you would get, like a quick couple pages of, like, Moose and Midge, but usually it's just, like, Archie needs to do something, so he goes to see Dilton. Or, like, and that's...
Well, and then we saw Reggie for the first time in episodes, and it's so funny because I follow all the actors on Instagram, and the guy that plays Reggie is always there. And I'm like, what... Months ago, I saw him on, you know, KJ's Instagram constantly, and I'm like, he's not been in anything except for tonight.
Yeah, but they're still working out together.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. Right. That's true.
Well, they're not working out that much, because as in the famous words of Smokey on Friday, he got knocked the out.
Yeah, he really did.
What happened? Veronica knocked him out, and he's a big jock.
That was a good right cross.
She had a glass jaw.
She had a lot of power.
She blacked out. She turned into Dark Veronica.
It's a rage
blackout.
It was a rage blackout.
It was.
I love that.
I like the fist balling up, because if you know anything about memes, you guys, the Arthur fist.
Yeah.
She's mad. Big mad.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy. That was uncharacteristic of Veronica. But, you know, she's
very Betty.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly.
Except she didn't make marks in her palm from her long nails. Instead, she punched someone in the face, which is a differentiation, I think, between both characters.
So let's talk a little bit about Archie and Jughead and them trying to take the stand with the chains.
Oh, my God.
And in the end, Archie cuts this chain and he's like, get out of here. Archie's, like, very, very caught between Mr. Lodge and wanting to be loyal and signing this blood contract. And then, you know, actually being a smart, good kid.
He's failing
all of them.
It's hard for me to imagine, though, him getting out. Like, this is what I want to know. At the end of, let's say, 3 seasons of Riverdale, how are we going to believe Archie's character anymore? Because how is he going to get out of this? Because
he's going to kill the Black Hood. He's going to have to catch him in order to get out of this.
Yeah. He did. I mean, the Black Hood apparently is dead.
But we know he's not.
But then, even if that happened, would Hiram Nelson, like, you've destroyed this evil murderer, forget this blood oath, Archie. You're good.
Yeah. I know, right?
They just keep digging him deeper
and deeper. You're right. He's going to be like, so you're capable of it. So yeah, good.
That's great. It's not like the 1800s blood oaths. If we did a blood oath right now, we wouldn't have to do what we said we were going to do. We are not vampires. Like, I don't understand why they're so stuck on this stupid thing.
Well, two things. First of all, the reason the blood oath matters is because he's old school. It's like an old school mafia thing. So the blood oath does matter. But more importantly than that is whether or not the blood oath is what we're talking about, or just talking about getting involved with a crime family that's murdering people and, like, running crime operations, or, you know, going against that crime family to side with his family, like... How does that end with Archie being like a normal-ish high school kid not being in jail or dead?
Not like,
I know they could write it that way. Obviously, it's a TV show. They can do whatever they want. But when I say believe it, like, this show's not totally believable, but there's still like a suspend your disbelief kind of thing watching it. How do you not get to a point where you're just like, this is ridiculous? Come on, guys. Like, get us out of this corner.
Tristan Hefner in the chat said, Archie has become a tool to the Lodge's storyline. I kind of wish he had one of his own. I know more about everyone else than Archie, the main character.
Right.
I think it's very, we've talked about this like dozens of times now, but I think it's pretty clear now. He is not the main character of the show. This is not the Archie show.
Right. That's why it's called Riverdale, and not Archie.
Simone Umba said, he ain't getting into college. Okay? He is not a good boy.
No, but I agree. I was talking about this last week.
The dean or something.
Yeah. Every week, it's just, he gets further and further into us, and I find it harder and harder to see how we get back to an Archie from any of the first early episodes of first season.
The innocent boy next door.
Someone who was sleeping with a teacher, but still, comparatively.
Do we know anything much about Hiram before he met Hermione and she kind of got her claws on him? Because in a way, I see this as a repetitive thing that she's telling Veronica to get your claws on this man and make him do what you want, like your puppet.
I don't think we really know. Like, the Mark and Spoilers history, we haven't really gotten in the show yet. That's like definitely something they haven't built yet. So I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I think we all want to see the throwback episode. I think people have talked about this.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. the flashback episode where the kids are playing their parents, basically.
Come on, writers, help us. We want to know what happened.
Because, I mean, he was in Riverdale, at least based on last week's episode where they're all talking around that family dinner.
Yeah.
Talking about the wacky hijinks they'd get up to back in the day.
Which was, by the way, I wasn't here for that discussion, but, like, that was a pretty uncomfortable scene, right?
Yeah.
It's like, this is my wife, you guys have slept together,
yep.
And I know that, and you know that I know that.
Yeah.
And come have this 30-year-old rum.
But not only that, don't forget the element of, now I own you, because
right.
You're in this contract with me that you can't get out of, and I'm going to have you doing evil things and being my puppet, and you slept with my wife. Come have this 30-year-old whatever. What was
Eskimo
it?
Brothers, right? I mean, that's what you guys do.
That's
right?
What it's called.
Yep.
But guys, before we move on, I really want to talk a little bit about how cruel and cold Archie was. First of all, Hiram came up with this thing about, the wrestling team can just get rid of the kids. Archie pushed Jughead. Like, he pushed him unnecessarily.
Yeah, at the end, yeah.
And even though Jughead appealed to him, like, look at all these cameras, Archie was bold and proud to do what he did.
Yeah.
He is, like, getting on my nerves right now.
He seemed like a cult member, how they were all wearing the same stupid gray sweatshirt
right.
that said Riverdale on right. it.
I don't know if I'd look at Archie's face and say that he was proud to do it. But, I think he doesn't like having to go against his best friend.
Proud, strong shoulders.
Yeah. That's true.
Honestly.
Yeah, he's been doing some heavy dealt work, and I like it.
Yeah.
But, he was there to, ultimately he was following Hiram, but to the greater extent to be able to secure his dad's freedom from Hiram. So I could see why he would go through it.
But that extra push was unnecessary.
It was,
so
I would agree.
If it was really something that you really were doing hesitantly, why did you add that in? I'm telling
yeah.
you, there's something inside of him that opposes Jughead.
There's a darkness, yeah. I also like that they are, like, now beginning to poke fun at the whole, like, Jughead nest does, like, the eat thing. That they've only done it a few
right.
times,
yeah.
but, like, we've definitely started to get that a little bit. So before we get into predictions, I do want to remind everybody here that AfterBuzz TV was started by Maria Menounos, who's the best in the business. And she has something that we want to talk to you guys about. Go to iTunes, subscribe to Conversations with Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. If you want to learn and grow in all areas of your life, she has a podcast for you, Conversations with Maria Menounos. Podcast edition is hosted by the founder of the company. It drops every Friday on iTunes. I mean, Maria is legitimately the best in the business. She's taught most of us what we know almost entirely about this business, about being podcasters, about being celebrity interviewers. She interviews celebrities, influencers, all kinds of cool stuff. She shares secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life, from health and wellness to career and relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you never had. Be sure to rate, comment. When you do, let Maria know it was us who got you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition is available right now. Check it out. So
yes, I recently listened to the Patty Stanger episode, which
yeah.
is like the millionaire matchmaker.
Yeah.
So millionaires, I'm available.
Oh,
yeah.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
And just to reiterate, guys, like, that's not like a live read where, I mean, obviously there's a sheet of paper giving us the information to share, but that's not like a live read that any one of us would be like, oh, well, I'll just do that. It's like we all have a relationship with Maria.
Yeah.
We're
yes.
very grateful.
She's
and
wonderful.
She's the best teacher. So it's a very good podcast and it's worth checking out. All right. I want to get into predictions before we wrap it up today.
Yes.
There you go. That was
and
waiting
now,
for.
You're after Buzz TV.
Can I start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So something we forgot and just didn't have time to mention tonight was Molly Ringwald. I don't remember her character's name because
yeah.
she just pops in
Archie's
and out.
Mom.
Archie's
oh,
mom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's back, and this show has got, you know, it is the writing. They referenced Hamlet last week. It's like the things we see are at face value, I think. And so I think that her coming back, I think she is a blossom, which would make Archie a blossom.
Mm.
And, I think she's sleeping with Fred again.
Everyone's a blossom.
Yeah.
That,
except Chick.
All of Riverdale is a blossom, except
yeah.
for Chick and Alice. But, yeah, I think her coming back, I've always felt like she has been somehow this secret puzzle piece or, like, information that we don't know. So I don't know how long she's going to last. I don't know what else Molly Ringwald is doing. So I hope she stays.
Coming
and I don't mean that any offense
Archie
to,
together.
You know, Molly Ringwald. But I just, yeah. Well, just she's going to fill in some blanks that I hope we continue to see. That's my prediction.
Well, and just to backtrack for the episode, I did like her giving artsy, a little bit of, you know, just the cold hard truth about his actions towards Fred.
Disrespectful.
Yeah. Right. I appreciated another strong female character, and I feel like she balances Fred out because Fred's been overwhelmed and hasn't really even noticed how smart and, like, snappy that Archie is getting now that he's so in there with Hiram. So... can I go?
Since Please. I'm busy? Go ahead.
Okay, great. Well, first of all, we also forgot to mention that Betty is moving in with Jug.
Right.
That was a big one. As far as we know right now, that's super huge. No one has talked to FP about this little high school student. I don't know who you guys think you are.
Yeah.
But it ended with the kiss and it semi melted my Barchi heart. Bugheadish in a way, because I really love that they're running together, and I think that they are going to pose a huge like, it's going to cause Veronica to have to work really hard because people want to vote against her.
It's going to be a major issue, I agree.
I saw that Veronica was more of a people pleaser this episode. She really wanted this person to like her and that person to like her, and she cried and got emotional, and I could not feel sorry for her, even though I love her.
Yeah.
So I think that she's going to try to get back. She's going to get back hard. Like, okay, guys, I was sad last week, but I'm back and I'm better than ever.
Yeah. My prediction has to do with Toni Topaz. I think I really believe she's gonna run some game on the Vixens. I think she's gonna step in. I think it's gonna be unexpected, but there'll be something like Veronica's gonna be too busy or something, and Tony's gonna be the one that has to pick up the slack, and she's gonna become a real, like, you know, focal figure. And I think she's gonna start to move into that role that we thought 6 or 7 episodes ago she was maybe going to.
Yeah.
And, you know, she kind of faded out a little bit. I think she's gonna come back now and be a bigger character with Cheryl out of the show for a couple episodes, and I think she's gonna, you know, save Cheryl, and that's gonna be a big moment. I think we might even actually just get Shoni. I think that might just happen. Like,
yes.
That after she gets her out of prison, basically, they're going to end up, you know, having a relationship on the show that's going to be visible and out there, which will be exciting.
Yeah.
Nice. I'll just say, I think Archie will probably be shirtless doing jump rope.
Yeah.
I think that'll be probably a good scene for that.
That's a good one. Yeah.
And I will think that Tony gets, like, a huge tattoo, much like Michael from Prison Break did. Get herself inside the
Vixens?
Yeah, no, inside the where Cheryl is.
Oh,
and do a big prison break.
So she's going to get a big cross somewhere on her body.
Yeah, I'll tattoo that the whole escape plan is all over her body. Actually how they're going to break out.
See, enough. And I think Cheryl's going to be so crazy that she doesn't even recognize her because they're pumping her full of that stuff. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Like, can we make Cheryl more crazy? Let's do that. Just pump her with drugs.
Oh, yeah. Solid. All right, guys, that's going to wrap us up tonight. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. Frank Moran, where can the folks find you if they want to follow along with your exploits in your career?
You don't want to do that. You have better things to do with your life. but if you're feeling desperate, Happy Go Jackie is where you can find me on Twitter and Instagram.
And I am Shauna O. As you know, you can catch me at DShauna O on all social media. Twitter is my thing right now, though, so catch me.
Loving the Twitter.
you guys can find me, Sam Davidson, at SamD43 on Twitter and Instagram at SamDavidsonEntertainment.com.
You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media, Twitter, Instagram. I do this show in The Walking Dead on Sundays. Popcorn Talk, I do Action Movie Anatomy, and I just launched a movie review and movie news bit with Anchor.fm, available on Spotify, iTunes, everywhere you can find it. Look up Nerds and Suits Movies. You'll find my stuff. Thanks, guys. Have a good one. See you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.